On April 26th, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. Only in theaters April 26th. Rated R.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Stupidity, home of the greatest media mind ever to walk the planet.
I tell you what, man, he's a literal titan across the entire media landscape.
Okay, so here's the deal. He's a true icon in every sense of the word.
He's loved and feared more than any being to grace this planet.
There's two guys. There's a man with a voice that sounds like Barry White and Beyonce had a Jewish baby.
God himself would pay $39.99 for a cameo. Fact of the matter is, you are about to embark on a transcendent experience that can only be described as psychological nudity.
This is Stugatz, and this is Stupidity.
Here we go, Jim.
Tony!
Welcome into another episode of Stupidity, the biggest podcast in the world, thanks to you. Please subscribe, rate, and review. Unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review. Subscribe does not mean you have to pay. You don't have to pay. This thing is for free. You'll follow us eventually, according to Mikey A, but this thing is for free. You have been busting my balls all week about something. Before we get to Greg Giannotti, morning host at WFAN, does the show with Boomer Esiason, 6 to 10 a.m. on my favorite sports radio station, The Fan, in New York. You've been busting my balls, Mikey A. What is going on, man?
So there are a lot of people that work a lot around the clock to make sure you sound good and this program sounds good, yeah. Myself included. And we make these little videos for you to tweet out. And the only thing you have to do is take the video we send you that we work so hard on, me, Ryan, Chris, Mike Ryan, we send you these videos and all you have to do is copy the video and put it in a tweet with the link to the episode, and all you send out is random numbers and letters in a string and people just make fun of you. And it's just, I'm just wondering, how is it that you can't actually copy and paste a video?
Stupidity. Mike. I had to remind Andrew Brandt of this last week. The name of our podcast is Stupidity. The logo for the podcast is me sitting on a fucking toilet bowl, okay? I am getting old. I am senile. I have been through a rough couple of months here with my family. I am not using my mom's death as an excuse. But
unless it works.
I miss her. I miss her so much. Mama! Ooh! I love you, Mom. I have a special episode this week coming up for my mom to honor her and to thank a lot of the folks who made contributions to both of her charities and just to talk about that. Talk about her, honor her, and thank the audience for coming as strong as they did, which made me super, super emotional. So we will release that later on this week. Mike, we are on a path here right now. I think we might have three episodes this week. This is very exciting. Oh, how about that?
Don't jinx it. Don't jinx it. It's only Sunday.
All right.
You threw strike one and you're going, hey, this guy's on his way to a perfect game.
Well, listen, Giannotti's going to be great. I know that. He and I are friends. We've known each other for a while, and he is doing mornings at WFAN. He is a fun guy. He's a funny guy, and we'll have some fun with him. I just committed a second episode to you for my mom, okay, to honor my mom. It's something I've been trying to do, wanting to do for a while now, and I think we're going to have a third episode as well. So how about that?
I might have one in the works. I might have a little special episode myself in the works for Stugatz, yeah.
All right, very good. How do you feel about Giannotti? Excited for this? I mean, you're a New York guest.
I'm a New Yorker. I grew up listening to WFAN. I mean, I could just remember my mom getting in the car at, like, when me or one of my brothers would be driving, and of course the fan is on, and she'd be like, "Can you turn this shit off?" And then like 2 minutes in, she'd be like, "I don't get it. I think Jeff Nelson is a great reliever."
All right, let's bring on our buddy Greg Giannotti. And just know this: he is currently doing the job that I wish I was doing, sitting next to Booms every day, 6 to 10 in the morning, in the only market that still cares about local sports radio, WFAN in New York. Let's bring on our buddy Greg Giannotti. Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't: the great taste of Miller Lite. It was the original light beer, and to this day, it's still the best one. Miller Lite has more of the taste you want and less of the stuff you don't. And listen, the NBA playoffs are here. I cannot tell you how many times I have drowned my sorrows because of the New York Knicks, and I've drowned them in ice-cold Miller Lights. But hopefully, there is hope. This year, I'll be celebrating my New York Knickerbockers. How about that? Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. The original light beer since 1975. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/stew, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Giannotti.
Hello.
What up?
What's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing good, buddy. How are you?
Great, man. I'm show was funny today. Got in the car quick, trying to get out of this city, fucking this hellhole that it's turned into, and get home.
So. Yep. Like, how sad is New York City the last, I don't know. Well, how long have you been out, Giannotti? Yeah.
Well, I spent 7 months at home, March to November, and I've been back in, like, it was, I don't know, sometime middle of November, then I went back in, or beginning of November. So, I mean, it's dead. It's just, like, it's dead. It's not as, like, I was worried about, like, coming in and parking a car and walking in and being some, you know, craziness going on. None of that's really happened, but, you know, there's a lot of business. I look to my left right now, is this whole place that's just boarded up. There was a restaurant that was there. It's got graffiti all over it. It's just like, the only good thing about it is I get in and out with no problems. It's just so quick,
right,
that I can get in and out of the city. There's no traffic, but yeah, it's definitely, you know, it's definitely sad, but I, you know, well, who the hell wants to be in here if you can go somewhere else right now? It'll come back.
Right.
It's going to take some time.
I'll tell you, I figured that out in 1997. I got the fuck out of there and moved down to South Florida.
Yeah, I know, man. I know. Listen, if I didn't have this particular job, I'd consider the same thing. I'd be down in Delray Beach at Rocco's Tacos getting fucked up every night.
That a boy. Greg Giannotti with us, host of Boomer and Geo, 6 to 10 on WFAN, the radio station I grew up with. And you are on Coast to Coast, CBS Sports Network. Is that correct, my friend?
Yeah, that's right. Yes, yeah, simulcast on television, CBS Sports Network every day, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern.
Greg, how fucking fried are you right now? Like, I'm shocked that you're doing this, because there are many times after the show, I just drive home in silence because I'm exhausted, you know?
Yeah, I usually do for the first portion of the ride, but then I start dozing off. So, like, that's right. the only thing that keeps me up is talking to somebody on the phone. Like, I've done everything. I put the windows down. I blast the music. I chew on ice. I hit myself in the leg. Nothing works, so I have to be able to talk to somebody. And plus, you know, like, there's a post-show high that you have if you have a good show. Obviously, there's, like, the post-show self-loathing if you don't. But there's a post-show high if you have a good show and heading into Friday. So you catch me right after the show, it's fine. Like, if we had done this, you know, the second I got home and I ate lunch or something, I'm just a complete disaster. Pure zombie, can't even put a thought together, especially after a five-day week. But, I mean, it's sports talk radio, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's really not – it's the waking up and it's the commute that's the big problem.
I hear you. But, like, listen, for me, if people ask me right after the show, what the fuck did you guys talk about today? Like, right after the show, Greg. And I'm like, I have no idea. Like, does that happen to you? Like, I know you had a good show today, but do you remember anything you talked about?
No, I mean, I'll tell you. today I did. No, I know what you're talking about, and usually that's the way it is. Like someone will text me, "Hey, by the way, it's Tostitos," and I'll be like, "What the fuck do you mean?" Like, "Oh, you were asking a question about the chips," but today we did. The reason why I'll remember today's show forever is because I walked Boomer into giving an answer to Fuck, Marry, Kill on the Manning Brothers. And I can't believe that he actually did that on the air. He was like,
"That's a good job out of you, Greg." Yeah, I'm serious. That's a good job. I mean, you're extracting. You're extracting.
Wait, which one did he pick?
All right, so he goes. He just like so matter of factly. He's like, "You know, I think you got to marry Eli. You got to have sex with Peyton, and then I think you're killing Cooper." And I was like, "Oh my God! I can't believe you actually did it." And then we moved on then to like the Sims family, you know, like Phil and Chris and Matt. And we did. I was like, he was just in a mood today, and I got him going on that stuff. So I will always remember today's show because of that particular thing.
Where do you go with the Sims family? Chris is the one you're having sex with, right?
my answer, because he wouldn't answer, because he got a little, after the Manning one, he was like, "Listen, I've said enough," and he works with Phil every day. So I ended up answering it. I said, "You're killing Matt because I don't know enough about him. Chris, I would marry because he's on the way up. And then Phil Sims, I would fuck just so I could tell the story." Like you know, like what a great party story. Be like, "Yeah, you know, I fucked Phil Sims." You know, it's a great story.
I think people, listen, I for one would be super impressed if you told me that fucking story, man.
Phil? I know. I'd be like, "No, but seriously, it's like, you know, Chris, I feel like, is an easy one. Like, if you climb that mountain and you could actually, you know, be with Phil Sims, to me, that's a far better story and accomplishment than Chris."
Dude, come over. Gio's telling the "I fucked Phil Sims" story.
I know. It's amazing. I'm telling you. We had Phil and Chris. Have you ever had the two of them on together? Their dynamic is laugh out loud funny. We had them on. We play a game called the Stooliewet Game. So we had, it was me and my dad. It's who knows their dad better. So it was me and my dad. It was Phil and Chris. And every time Chris got one wrong, Phil threatened to punch him in the fucking face. It was odd. Yeah. Greg, it was so odd, dude.
Yeah, and it's, like, real. That's the thing, too. Like, it's not like a joke for the air. Like, he really wants to punch him in the face, which could be a little scary. Yeah, I love him.
Oh, my.
You know, Chris was, he was in the running there for, like, jobs at WFAN, and, like, it never really worked out. I thought he would have been really, really good if he had been you know, a full-time guy and, you know, maybe part of that afternoon show after Mike had first left. But, you know, it didn't work out, and he's killing it at NBC. So, you know, good for him.
Yeah, he's great. He's a good friend. And he would have been great at WFAN. I want to ask you, though, Greg, because you and I have known each other for a bit here. We've spoken on the phone. You, like me, you grew up listening to WFAN, and local radio is still alive and well in one market, and that market is New York, and that station has significance to a lot of people. If I told a 15-year-old Greg Giannotti that one day he'd be hosting the morning show on that station, you would have told me what?
That you were absolutely not for those jobs that it is to get into the NBA. It's not going to happen. You know, maybe I'll, you know, go out to... So I grew up a big Minnesota Vikings fan. So I thought if I was ever going to get in a business, that a great job would be drive time in Minneapolis talking about the Vikings, because there was no way I was going to be able to break in and be on WFAN. It was just going to be too hard. So I would have told you were nuts. I would have said I'd find a job somewhere in the country and I'll be happy to do it. But no. And then, you know, when I was 15, you know, Imus was still on the air in the mornings. So, like, I never knew what the plan was going forward at FAN if they were ever going to do a sports show. So if you would have told me morning drive, I really would have told you were crazy. And even to this day, it sort of doesn't – and it sounds stupid, but it doesn't feel real. You know, like, because if you think back at, like, you know, like Mike and the Mad Dog, Imus, you know, Boomer and Carton, when they started, like, it just, it was so large and so big and so intimidating that you never thought, like, you could actually be one of those guys. And when you walk in the studio, you see your name on the studio and you see people write about you and all that stuff. It still doesn't feel like it's actually happening. And sometimes you gotta, you know, you gotta sort of be in the moment and say, hey, this is pretty cool, as opposed to being like a total maniac. I mean, you know how sports talk guys are. You know, it's all about the next thing, or how is the show, or what's going on, or what am I going to talk about. You know, when you have success, you know, sometimes you don't sit there and actually enjoy it. So I'm trying to do, as I'm getting a little bit older here, going to be 39, approaching 40. I kind of am looking.
Oh, fuck you.
I knew that was going to get you. You know, as I get really old up there towards 40, I'm trying to enjoy those moments a little bit more. There's a guy on a freaking one of those crotch rocket bikes right now. I'm sorry if you can hear that. Yeah. There's some guy, it's like... you know, one of the, like, Tokyo Drift or something going on right now on the BQE.
How annoying are those fucking things? Seriously.
Oh, my God. I mean, and, like, you know, you see how many people, like, get fucked up and die on those motorcycles? It's like, I don't understand. Like, they're weaving in and out of traffic like they're invincible, like they're immortal. And it's just, that's one of my biggest fears, is these crotch rockets, like, cut in front of me, and then I'm like, ba-dum, ba-dum, and I'm like, oh, my God. Now I got to think about this for the rest of my life.
I want to tell you, and by the way, I'm glad you're starting to enjoy the moments, because I told you a while back, hey, just enjoy the ride. But I'm wondering, so that first day, Greg, because this is dream come true type stuff for you. So that first day, you're on with Boomer, you're replacing Carton. Walk us through that. You nervous? What the fuck happened?
All right, so now, do you want the first day that I auditioned when the job was open? Because that's a better story, actually. So,
like, all right, so give me that one. Go ahead. Perfect.
All right, so this is
Giannotti. This is why you're good. You go. Listen, this is why you are great. You get a different Boomer than everyone else, okay? And you just steer the you just steered me exactly where you thought we needed to go to the better story. This is why you are great. I'm telling you, this is why you're good.
All right, so this is what happens. So finally I get the shot. I'm going to do a week with Boomer. Mark Chernoff tells me I get the full week. I walk in there. Of course, this is the weekend that Trump calls the players, you know, the sons of bitches. Remember that old thing? Like, let's fire those sons of bitches. And then all the entire NFL kneels. Now, like, I'm a guy that whatever topic you want, you know, I'll talk about, I'll have an opinion on it, whatever. But, you know, much like you, you know, I'd rather, like, do fart jokes or tell a story about something that happened, or, like, let's make fun of this thing and let's, you know, talk about a free agent. Like, when I'm getting into this stuff, I'm like, I cannot believe that this happens. And let me tell you, the hatred that I got from that show, I couldn't – it was 4 hours of, like old school listeners, you know, calling, like, it was like 55 Navy SEALs called in a row to, like, tell me how much of a wuss I was. And I walked out of there like, oh my God, I just blew my entire career, like it, because I had a take on the NFL. Like, this is unbelievable. And then, and I was like, all right, just keep doing what you're doing. Just be you. And luckily, like, I had, like, 4 more days to be able to, like, showcase me as an entertaining morning guy and not, like, freaking, you know, Hannity and Combs. But, you know, it was scary because, like, I didn't know, like, I mean, I had an opinion on it and I gave it, you know, but I was like, I thought it would be like a good discussion back and forth, and it turned out to be this like crazed political show where I walked out of there like covered in blood. You know, I was just like, this is not what I want to do. I don't want to do this. This isn't the dream, man. This isn't WFAN, the dream. I mean, this sucks. You know, and I look down at my Twitter, it's like, you snowflake pussy fuck. You know, and I'd be like, what? No, not, what do you mean? I just wanted to do a show.
You attack one of the, listen, you weren't discussing a bunt in the third inning of regular season game one, you know, 92. This is one of those third rail topics. You knew that, Greg. You knew that.
No, I know. But it's like, you know, my dream of, like, full-time FAN is like Mike and Chris going through the Giants schedule doing win-loss. You know, like, that's what, right. That's what I thought I was going to do. All right, listen, we'll go week six. They got the fucking ears on the road, Mikey. What do you think? You know, actually, I'll give him a win. I'll give him a win there, dog. All right, so we got him now. We got him 5-5 after week 10. And then I'm here I am, like, just taking slings and arrows. But you know what it was? It was almost like looking back on it, it was almost the best thing that could have happened because, like, I got the worst of it out of the way. And you got to remember, too, like, I had been, so leading up to that, you know, I had done part-time stuff on FAN here or there, but I was working at CBS Sports Radio, which nobody listened to. So I'm talking about I could say anything on that show. I did a show with Brian Jones for 3 years. It was 6 to 9 a.m. on that network, and we were on, like, some shitty AM stations in, like, you know, wherever the fuck, Kentucky. You know, no one was listening to us. Nobody cared. Didn't matter. So, like, and I, you know, I would get, like, one tweet. Like, my mentions would pop up, like, once a month. Someone would say something about the show and then throw me in there to talk about Kaepernick. I was like, oh, God. I go from nobody paying attention to me to getting thrown in with a, you know, Trump Kaepernick showdown. It was a wake up call for the ages.
It's similar to my path. Dan and I doing the show, I don't know, 10, 12 years down in Miami, which is the wild, wild west of fucking radio, okay? I mean, you can say whatever the hell you want down here. And we would say whatever the hell we wanted, and then we got to ESPN.
Right. I know.
Right, and that changed pretty quickly. When did you guys know, Greg? I'm wondering, because you take over for Carton, right? Carton and Boomer already had a very successful show, and you know Craig, right? I'm wondering, when did you feel like Boomer accepted you? When did you feel like you had a great show on your hands?
I would say probably, I mean, it took about 8 months for me to feel totally comfortable, you know, and it was, you know, it might have even been a little longer than that. Like there was a point, it might have actually been like 11 months now I think about it, because I'm thinking back to November. So I got in this back and forth battle with Francesa that actually, you know, it ended up on the back page of the New York Post. It said FanDuel, and it had my face and Francesa's face yelling at each other on the back page of the New York Post. You know, and it said feud between hosts gets nasty and personal. And I remember, like, going into work that day and, like, flipping over the paper and seeing that, and then Boomer going, hey, you made it. I'm proud of you. And it was sort of like, you know, instead of me, like, riding sidecar, I had sort of, like, established myself a little bit in that moment. But there was a long time where, I mean, you know, he'll admit this, you know, that he, you know, even though we had done a bunch of tryout shows together and I did a couple weeks with him, he still didn't trust me yet if fully with, like, topic choices and things. And I remember, because when, you know, Craig got arrested and it happened so quickly, like, Boomer had to go into quarterback mode. Like, he had to be like, I got to save this thing. I got to keep people together. And he did a great job of doing that, but it was hard to break him from full control of the program early when I started with him, because he was used to that. So there were a lot of times that, like, I remember I'd come back and I'd start a topic that he didn't want to talk about, and he would just say something like, what are you worried about that for? And then go to a call. And I was like, So like I had this whole thing planned. I was like, you know what I think about what Dave Gettleman said? He'd be like, what do you care about that for? Ted and Secaucus, you're on the Fan. And I'd be like, all right. Like, this is a full-blown neutering every day.
He went back to his comfort zone, man.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So that was his eject button. Like, that was, like, he had the ability to go to the calls, and that was his eject button anytime that, you know, I brought up something he wasn't comfortable with, or, you know. But then, so, you know, about a year in, maybe a little less, it had gotten to the point where he trusted me, and he knew even if I was going down a road that he didn't want to go down or whatever, that he would just go with me because he knew it would work out. But that was, that was tough, man. Like, you know, those are the things that people, like, don't understand. And, you know, I told some people during that time, they're like, oh, it felt like you fit in seamlessly, and it seemed like it worked right away. And I was like, I'm glad that it sounded like that. But I was leaving that studio every day like this isn't good. Like, I haven't earned his respect yet. Like, this doesn't sound good. You know, I'd listen back to the shows and be like, this isn't it. And it was stressful during that time, because you never know, man. Like, you fight so hard to get to that point in your career where, like, you feel like you're there and you made it in a job that you don't want to ever leave. And then, like, then your mentality switches to, like, okay, well, this is the job I always want to keep. And, like, you'll do anything to make sure that it works. And luckily it did.
It's funny because we had moments early on, the first 2 years of our show, we actually went back and played the first episode, the first show we ever did. Dan couldn't sit through it. He couldn't last five fucking minutes because we sounded so young. We sounded so terrible. And the audience loved it. But Dan and I, Greg, you have a feeling. You know when you're doing the show correctly. You know when you're doing it well. And you really have to be in the business to kind of know that. And so we would tell, like we have told stories before, we knew how bad we were in the first year or two. Now, we were afforded the time, and that's very important. Program directors get an itchy trigger finger, but we were afforded the time to kind of find our footing. But Lebatard will tell stories of him driving around his community, riding around in the middle of the night on a bicycle because he couldn't sleep. He couldn't sleep because he felt like the show was so fucking bad. And so, like, it will stay with you. The bad shows will stay. That feeling will stay with you until you get it right, you know?
Well, yeah. The people who are successful always have stories like that because that's how you're successful. You care that deeply. So that first show I did with all the crazy political stuff, I remember it was, you know, it was like the end of the boating season up here. So it was like, you know, late October, early November. It was a really nice day. And I remember taking my boat out by myself into the Great South Bay and just sitting there, like on the boat by myself as it was just floating in the water, just thinking about everything. How was I going to get on the same page with them? How am I going to have fun? How am I going to make it sound like a morning show? How am I going to do this? Like, this is your entire livelihood. This is your entire life and your career on the line here the rest of this week. Like, it can't be another show like that. Like, you need to, I mean, right. Of course, these are important topics to talk about, but it can't be 4 hours of, like, you know, with a machete in a jungle going through political topics. Like, it can't be that. You're never going to get this job. Without a doubt, if you're good at what you do, you care about what you do, you know how it sounds, you know, every successful talk show host will tell you that they had those moments where they were by themselves, you know, with some sort of like career existential crisis on their hands.
Yes or no, that picture of you and Francesa back page, that thing is framed in your fucking house. Yes or no?
Well, it's framed, but my wife won't let me hang it. That's the problem. She was like, I don't want that asshole's head on my wall. I was like, me or Mike? Which one?
Put it right next to the wedding photos.
But yeah, it's on the wall of my parents' house, though. Every time I go over there to see them, it's hanging on their wall. But I have it, like, if I'm ever allowed to have my own space in a house ever again in my life, I will be able to put it up on the wall somewhere.
Yeah, keep waiting, Greg. Anyway, who smokes more weed, Al Dukes or Eddie Scazzeri?
You know what's crazy is neither one of them. Neither one of them.
Get out of here.
Yeah, so Al's like a big, like, rules guy. So, like, he would never illegally smoke weed. You know, and Eddie, you would think, would be smoking all the time. And Eddie actually has bad experiences with it. Like, so the last time he smoked, he was out at a restaurant at some like station event or whatever, and they were drinking, having a good time. They go outside, they smoke, and he has like a panic attack. He goes into a public bathroom and curled up in the fetal position on the bathroom floor. Someone had to go get him. So
who got him?
So
I
forget, but I think it was guy works for us, Bobby Dwyer, pulled him out of there. But so neither one of those guys smoke. Like, you know, and anytime like I tell a story about like, you know, partying or having a good time or whatever, all those guys like back off. It's crazy. Like I don't even think like Eddie will tell that story. You know, Boomer doesn't have any stories. Al, I don't even think Al's ever smoked weed in his life, believe it or not.
That's amazing. I am shocked by that. I got to be honest. Wait, Boomer nothing? Like, have you ever gotten Boomer hammered? Have you seen Boomer drunk?
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. Okay. He can get lit up. There was one. We went to a fight at the Barclays Center. It was Deontay Wilder and Dominic Brazil, and we were back there in like that VIP area, and the drinks were flowing, and I remember. I remember we go out there, we're sitting ringside, and we had asked Deontay Wilder to come on the show that week, and he said no, and sober Boomer would like didn't care. He's like, oh, no problem, we'll get him next time. But drunk Boomer had remembered that moment, and as he was walking out, Boomer goes, "Fuck you!" I'm like, what are you screaming? He's like, he goes to me, he's like, "Fuck that And I was like, it's all right. And then I asked him like on Monday after, and I was like, were you really mad they didn't come on the show? He's like, no, I don't know. I was just having a good time. I was like, all right, fine.
I love
tremendous.
That.
Yeah.
Boomer and Geo, check him out every morning on WFAN, Coast to Coast, CBS Television, CBS Sports Network. Bigger story, Knicks win a round in the playoffs or the Nets lose in the NBA Finals?
Oh, man. You know what? You know why that's a really good question is because you say the Nets lose in the NBA Finals. So the reason the reason why that would be a bigger story is the Knicks fans, that's the second best thing to a Knicks championship. To a Knicks fan. So I actually think that would be the bigger story because the Knicks fans would be celebrating so much. Like, the Knicks fans may have a parade of their own if the Nets lose in the finals. So just because of the happiness that we would have. But, you know, the Nets winning a championship is not going to be that big of a story. But if they lose in the finals, there's so many Knicks fans that are going to be rooting against them that'll be like, we'll be taking calls all day of Knicks fans gloating in that situation.
Just bouncing around with you here for a second. Sam Darnold going to be the Jets quarterback next year, yes or no?
Yes, I keep saying yes, but Boomer's getting me on this Zach Wilson thing. Like, so I still stand by the fact that it's going to be Sam. I think the best way for them to build currently is to keep Sam, you know, put the weapons around him like they have been, you know, with Corey Davis, they bring in Keelan Cole, and then building and either trading down and accumulating more picks with that number two overall pick or selecting somebody other than a quarterback there. That's the way I would do it. But, you know, the more I hear about this love for Zach Wilson, the more I'm thinking they may go that way. But as we talk here today, I do think that Sam will be the quarterback.
What's going on with Carton, man? Is he running amok over there or what?
Well, yeah, but it's all like good Carton stuff. Like, it's not like running amok.
Oh, no. Listen, Greg, Greg, let me be clear. I say that respectfully. Listen, Craig, we all have our shit, dude, okay?
I
just want to be entertained when I turn on the radio, okay? Craig is exceptional at tying a radio station and shows together. For better or for worse, he's exceptional at that, and he's very entertaining. But I just imagine him coming back out of prison, and, like, nothing's ever happened, and him just running amok amongst WFAN.
Well, basically, yeah. I mean, it's all that stuff. You know, I mean, he stole the boss's massage chair and put it in his office. He's bought a popcorn machine. There's a bunch of, you know, food all over the place, you know. Like, I get a call at 5 o'clock on Friday where I'm sitting there drinking, and it's from them, and they're asking me questions about what I ate for dinner. Like, yeah, of course. I mean, like, all that stuff is going on. As Boomer calls him Captain Chaos, it's great to you know, to have him back and because I never really worked with him on the radio station, obviously. I mean, I was a producer when they were doing their, you know, having their heyday of Boomer and Carton, so I didn't have much of a relationship with him. So now it's very cool to have, like, you know, a lineup that I don't think is going to change for a while, because there was a lot of flux there at the radio station for, you know, a long time. So yes, you are correct with the running amok.
Listen, he makes me laugh. I'll tell you a quick funny story. Right after college, Club Med, Turks and Caicos, Craig will remember this, spring break. So I was there with my friends from Long Island, Port Washington. And Craig was there either with his friends from New Rochelle or his friends from Syracuse. Regardless, it was two packs of friends. You know the scene from Anchorman where you have the two lame news crews kind of squared off, right?
Yeah, with the Craig, yeah.
Right. Carton had his lame crew who thought they were tough, and I had my lame crew who thought we were tougher, and there was a weird sort of tension, but I ended up getting Craig's number. He had already established himself in the radio business. I said, Craig, you gonna help me out? And boy, did he help me out. I got a call a couple of weeks later from the fucking Metro traffic lady in Philadelphia. I'm like, Carton, I want to do sports radio. I want to work for you. I don't want to do fucking traffic.
Shadow traffic was the hookup he gave.
Yes, yes.
Traffic was Stugatz on the ones and sevens.
Yeah, the ones and sevens.
Oh my god, that's so funny. He must have thought you had talent, because usually people with talent, like, don't help out other people with talent because they get threatened. So, like, he was probably like, "Hey, listen, this guy might be pretty good. Let me give him a job in traffic."
Yeah, but I wanted a job with him.
Yeah,
or at the station he was working at. Give me the media critic you dislike the most. Like, for me, it's Andrew Marchand. I am always wondering how the fuck Andrew Marchand, okay, knows more about my life than I do.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I kind of respect his ability to be on top of everything. Like, I will say that, like, when he writes stuff, like, it is of interest to me. I guess Mushnick, just because, like, it's enough of the same stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember, you know, reading it in the 90s and being like, okay, this is entertaining. But it's, like, the same playbook over and over and over again. And it's worked for him. But, like, you know, there's stuff that he'll criticize about our radio station or whatever. And then, like, his newspaper is just as bad, if not worse. And he never, like, turns the spotlight in on that. And it's just like I'm tired of hearing about, like, moving games to 9 o'clock and how the kids can't watch, or, like, you know, this rapper bought a team and he used a bad word in a song 10 years ago, or, you know, like, Jay-Z sold crack so he's not allowed to be an adult. Like, I just, like, it's like enough of this shit. It's like the same thing. He reminds me of that old caller to the radio station that, you know, if we're having fun or having laughs on a non-sports topic, says, why don't you guys talk sports? Talk more sports. Isn't this a sports radio channel? Like, he's that type of guy in a column that drives me crazy. But he's had a good long career. And as, you know, the stock line with that is, you know, when he stops writing about us, you know it's a problem. So at least we're of interest to him.
What I love about both you and Craig Carton is even in that city, okay, where you can still talk about a bunt in game 33 of the regular season, you guys figured out that's really not what the people want, and you've gone in a different direction. It's been more sports, guy talk, entertainment. The whole industry has kind of shifted that way. Was there any blowback, I'm wondering, for either you or Craig when you guys started going kind of with that format for your show?
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, you know, especially if things aren't going well, you know. So, like, early on with Boomer and Carton, Boomer always tells the story about how, like, you know, when they were getting their footing, you know, Chernoff wouldn't let Craig do the Susan Waldman voice or the John Sterling stuff or make fun of the Yankee broadcasters. And then when they got to number one, he just unleashed and did it all. So that was, like, a little bit of suppressed. So, you know, they got that sort of creative part of them suppressed by Chernoff at that time. And then for me, you know, when I first started and before we started churning and consistently being first, you know, there was a lot of stuff from Chernoff where it was like, you know, I like to talk about stuff that happened at the radio station and the personalities. And he would always tell me, oh, it's too much inside. You know, people don't care about that stuff. And I'm like, I think that they do. I really do believe that some of the stories about the personalities. I mean, you're asking me about Eddie Scazzeri and Al Dukes. Like, people care about these guys. And they're interesting. And if you make a world for them in which there's characters, like, you know, people like that stuff. So that was one of the things that, you know, he would tell me about. As far as, like, the non-sports topics, he didn't care so much about that. And, you know, what really pushed the fast-forward button on all of this was sports shutting down last year. You know, and that's what really changed the mentality of the executives. And honestly, like, as bad as it has been and as bad as it was back then, you know, like, from a content standpoint, so I don't get my words twisted here, you know, it was one of the better things that could have happened for the show, because all these things that I was fighting for, people in charge finally understood. I you know, I used to say, you know, we can't be tethered to the sports calendar all the time. You know, it can't be that thing. You know, we're like, oh, it's February and things are dead. Like, we can't have that mentality or we're going to die. Like, it has to be entertainment first. It has to be. You know, we don't have to open up. The show open doesn't have to be about the game all the time. You know, it's 4 hours. People listen differently. You know, people are entertained. You can get specific podcasts on whatever team you want. You get scores on your phone immediately. You know, if people turn on us, they want to hear us, and they want to laugh, and they want to have a good time. So I think that really showcased itself, you know, when we didn't have sports for a very long time and really, you know, made itself clear to the people that were resistant to the entertainment first model.
Yeah, Dan and I were kind of laughing, saying no show was more ready and built for a pandemic than our show. So you've learned, Greg. Yeah. Like, no, we breezed right through it, you know, but that's what we've always done. It's just whatever's on our mind we talk about, you know.
Just speaking of your guys' show, I actually had one of the what he looks like things. I submitted it on Twitter and you guys read it on the air. And
which one?
And I was so proud. I actually recorded it on the voice notes of my iPhone. You know what's so strange, and maybe you have this same, and I'll tell you which one it was in a second. But what's so strange about radio is, like, even I'm on the air 5 days a week on WFAN, 5 days a week, you know, 20 hours morning drive. But if something that I said or I texted to a friend of mine who's on the air, or you guys read a tweet that I read and I'm listening in the car, I still think that's the most special thing in the world, and I get a kick out of it. I don't know why. It's just it's my passion for radio, I guess. But like when you guys did that, like read that thing, I was like, holy shit, that's so cool. So it was, Terry Collins, the Mets manager. I said, Terry Collins looks like a guy who shows up at the Golden Girls' house to take Blanche Devereaux out on a date. That was the one.
I think that's in our March Madness tournament this year, actually.
So that was mine.
That's a good job. That's a good. And you are more proud of that than anything you've done at WFAN. Is that
what you're almost. It's at least a top almost. 10 moment. It's a top 10 moment, God, in my radio career.
I fucking love you, dude. Boomer and Geo, check him out 6 to 10 a.m. Every morning, WFAN, Monday through Friday, and of course CBS Sports Network if you want to check him out on TV. I'm gonna get you out of here in a second. You almost home, by the way?
No, I live so far away. So I'm actually passing Mikey A's old place, Mineola. So I'm actually passing exit 40W Mineola right now. I don't get off until exit 62 Nichols Road. I live all the way out in Suffolk County, man. I got as far away from the city as I possibly could, and that's where I grew up, and I don't really mind the commute because it's the morning hours.
That a boy. All right, so a couple quick baseball questions and a little fun game, and then I'll get you the hell out of here, okay, because I know you're tired.
Is the fun game G-O or G-No?
You know what? It could have been. It's actually going to be Scazzeri, Dukes, or Recco.
All right. All right, because I heard you do wing go or wing no, and I was like, man, I hope I get G-O or G-No. But go ahead.
It's funny. All right, here, I'll make a deal with you because I can go. I was going to go G-Go or G-No, okay? Which is fucking stupid. We'll have a return date, okay? You and I,
right.
We will play G-O or G-No, okay?
All right.
The Mets. Most interesting thing about Steve Cohen owning the Mets is blank.
Man, that he could get in trouble in the stock market somehow. Because
we
just went through that whole thing with him and GameStop, and then he was giving money to his friend. He was bailing this guy out, and who knows? And, you know, he had the thing in his past. Like, so I actually like Steve Cohen, and I had a little bit of a, you know, back and forth with him on Twitter, like a nice back and forth, like DMs, rather, and he was great, and he's a listener. But then when that whole thing went down, man, that was an eye-opener, like, wow, like he's got another life where he's a real powerful guy and not a lot of people like him. And that to me is interesting.
Yankees going to be good. How good?
Listen, I'm going to say they're going to do the same damn thing they do every year. Is they're a really good regular season. They get into the postseason and there's a team that's just better than they are when they get into the playoffs. It happens every single year. There's just always a team that's better at baseball than they are. Simple as that. It's not about the home runs. It's not about Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton. It's about a team that plays the game better. And every single year that happens, whether it's the Astros or the Rays or whatever. So they'll get into the playoffs and then they'll get beat by somebody else who's either got better pitching or they're just better defensively or whatever. It's the same thing every year.
All right. Greg Giannotti with us here on Stupidity. Check him out. Boomer and Geo. You know what we're trying to do right now, just to be honest? I'm trying to get some questions together for Geo or Gino. As I'm doing this, because Mikey A fucking bailed on me. I don't know where he is. He's doing...
That's great. I love that. I love when the producer just leaves in the middle of whatever.
Well, he's taking care of his. I sprung this on him last minute, and he's taking care of his kid. So I knew this was going to happen.
Oh, I got it.
All right, let's quickly do Scazzeri, Dukes, or Recco. Least likely to stick his hand in his pocket when the dinner bill comes. Scazzeri, Dukes, Recco.
You're saying least likely to do that.
Least likely, yes.
I would say Jerry Recco would be the least likely.
God, I love Jerry Recco. And you're so right about the ancillary parts on a radio show. I am telling you, as someone who grew up on this radio station, Jerry Recco means something to me. He might not mean anything to anyone else, but he means something to me, you know?
Of course, man, of course. All those guys, like, you know, Minko, yes, and Harris Allen and Jerry Recco and Erica Herskowitz and all these people that,
right,
you know, you grew up listening to, or you listen to the radio station. I mean, it's like, you know, meeting those guys. Like, I got excited to meet Mark Melusis the first time I met him. So it's
that's amazing.
Yeah, you know?
Listen, Bob Usler was a teacher of mine at the Connecticut School of Broadcasting. It was like I was meeting fucking Reggie Jackson, dude.
I know. She's so right.
when the McMahon retired, I cried at our show.
I know. I didn't cry on the show, but I cried when I was listening to it. I mean, it's crazy the impact.
It really is. All right. So least likely is Recco. So he's cheap. Who's the most likely to stick his hands in his pocket to try to pay for dinner?
Oh, I thought you. All right. Sorry. No. Hold on.
So Jerry is the most likely. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, Jerry's the most likely to pay. I would say that. Okay. I'd say that Eddie is the least likely to pay. He's one of those guys that sort of like he expects like, listen, you guys are taking care of this. There's no two ways about it. Either that or the company's going to pay for it. It ain't going to be me. So that's definitely the Scazzeri mentality.
Does Scazzeri even try? Like, does he even give the appearance that he's trying to pay? Like, maybe sticks his hand halfway down the pocket. Anything?
No. He'll walk away from the dinner before the bill comes and take a stroll down the sidewalk before he ever reached into his pocket.
I love that. All right. Odd scenario: you wind up in prison. You have one call to make. Your only choices are Scazzeri, Dukes, or Recco. Who are you going with?
So you said one phone call if I'm in prison?
Yeah, you got one phone call, but your only choices, oddly, are Scazzeri, Dukes, or Recco. Who you calling?
You know, it's crazy. You know, so as least likely as Eddie is to pay, he's the most likely to show up in that situation. He would do whatever it took to make sure he would take care of you in that spot. So 100% it would be Eddie Scazzeri. Plus, you know, Al's like he's a selfish guy. He's a single guy. He's got a girlfriend. He's not married. He does what he wants. He would not want to be bothered by that. You know, Jerry's always got some sort of game with his kids or a tournament or some little league shit. So there's no way he'd be around. He wouldn't care. He'd be like, listen, I'll get to you in a couple days. Eddie would ride one of his, like, chocolate laps to the jail to free you.
All right, babysit your kids, Scazzeri, Dukes, or Recco.
Oh, it's got to be Jerry. Jerry's the only one with kids out of the three of them, so he would actually know what to do. I mean, Al would probably sell them on the black market. it would definitely be Jerry Recco.
Oh my God! Gambling advice: Scazzeri, Dukes, or Recco?
Jerry. Jerry's into it. He knows the most about sports and stuff. Out of all those guys, he likes to dabble. Definitely Jerry.
All right, last one. Most likely person you'd most likely go on vacation with: Scazzeri, Dukes, or Recco?
Oh man, you know that's a good one. I would say probably Jerry. Like Jerry likes to have fun. Like Jerry likes he likes the warm weather and he likes to have fun. Like so, and that's you know I could see me and Jerry at some like you know a resort in Aruba. Getting drunk and renting out a catamaran where like you know Al doesn't want to deal with any people and then like Eddie's idea of a vacation is going to like Montana to hike and you know take pictures. So there's no freaking way it would be Eddie.
All right, I'll give you a couple, get you out of here. Pee in the shower, Gio or Gino?
I'm so happy we're doing it. It's G-O all the way. I mean, and I actually, like, when I wake up in the morning at 3:15, in order not to wake my wife up because, I still have a very strong flow at my age, I'll turn the shower on and then pee right into the drain and not use the toilet to flush it in the morning. So it's an every morning G-O pee in the shower.
And thank you for the reminder of your stream. Tell me how that stream's going in 10 years, okay?
Listen, you got to flex with the prostate while you still got it, right? You got to take advantage.
Flex with the prostate. listen, sometimes, I'm telling you, in the middle of the day, I walk into the bathroom, and my choices are the shower and the toilet, and I just choose the shower. It's wide open. I mean,
yeah, right. Exactly. And there's just something welcoming about it. Like, I don't know. It's like it's that primal instinct. Like, I like peeing outside a lot, too. Like, if I have an opportunity to do that, like, not in public where people are around, but let's say, like, I got to let my dog out at night and there's nobody around in the backyard, like, Like, I'll go and I'll pee outside in that moment, just like as a primal thing. Just like, listen, this is my house, my yard. Like, I'll piss where I want.
There's a freedom to it. You're right. It's a very good point. Peeing in the pool. I'm assuming this is a GO. GO or Gino?
No. And this might surprise you. Wow. Absolutely not. I hate it. I hate when people do it. I think it's horrible. Like, you know, to me, it's like if I'm in my backyard by myself, I'm peeing in the grass, it goes away. But you're peeing in a pool that people are, like, in, and they're dunking their heads in, and, like, you know, sometimes water gets in your mouth and everything. I think I actually avoid pools because of that. Like, it's a thing. Like, I'd rather jump in the Great South Bay out here, or be in the ocean with all the fish shit, than be in a pool where, like, some guy I know could be pissing in it 2 feet away from me. So absolutely no way am I a pee in a pool guy.
All right, farting under the sheets. G.O. or Gino?
Oh, 100% G.O. I mean, I'm a gassy guy. My wife actually prefers, it's funny, she actually would rather me fart than burp in front of her for whatever reason. So because she yells at me for the burping and I have to suppress so many burps, I rip farts all day in the house. So you can catch me anywhere, just pumping them out.
All right, I'm going to get you out of here. You've given me more than enough. I want your wife on the podcast now. We'll do the Stoolywood game. Me and my wife versus you and yours.
Oh, that'd be great.
What's your NCAA, what's day one look like for you? When Greg Giannotti gets home today, what's it going to look like?
Oh, man. I mean, I've spent so much time at home because of this COVID thing. So it's basically going to be like every other day of me sitting in front of the television, eating something horrible and drinking something. And then hoping that my daughter doesn't scream for Peppa Pig on the television and trying to convince her that daddy gets to watch the big TV today. So that's what it's going to be. I'm going to be arguing with a 3-year-old over who gets to watch the television. You know, the bracket, I'm always terrible with the brackets. So I'll gamble on a couple of individual games, and, you know, I'll get irrationally angry about players and teams that I never cared about in my life, and it'll feel great.
All right. Well, just know this, okay? Every time a ball bounces, a basket is made, a basket is missed, a free throw is made, a free throw is missed, I will have won or lost money, okay?
As it should be, man. As it should be.
All right. Check him out 6 to 10 every morning, WFAN, with Boomer Esiason and on the CBS Sports Network. Last thing, you and I, now I don't know if this is going to come to fruition. We were scheduled to do a show together. Booms was taking a day off. I had some family issues that you are aware of, obviously, so we could not do it. Greg, I am asking, are we ever going to get this done? Because I would love to do a show with you on WFAN.
I know, me too. I don't know. I mean, I wish I could give you an answer. I would love to say yes. You know, the issue now is, like, when is Boomer taking off next? You know, it's not going to be, I can't go, hey, Boomer, you mind if Stu Gotts comes in and fills in for you? Why don't you take a day off so we can slide Stu Gotts in here? The guy was a fucking NFL MVP.
He's my favorite Jet of all time. I mean, I'll just come on with both of you. Well, that's a fucking fun.
Yeah, well, I mean, that may work. You know the guys that can really make it happen. You know, I've already, you know, we were on the schedule. It was going to happen. You know, I think at some point, the problem was, you know, vacation days and all that stuff. So I'm really hoping that it can, because that'll be a great experience. And I think we'd have a blast.
Listen, we will get there. Any contribution I can make to that at this stage of my career, Greg, any contribution I can make to that station, and I love you and I love your show, is just gravy for me. Like, I don't need any money. I don't need any of it. I just like doing it because it's WFAN. It's where I grew up. It's the station I grew up listening to, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I've always felt that same way. You know, whether I was producing or as a part-timer or an intern or doing what I am now, I mean, it's the greatest feeling in the world to be a part of it, and I know exactly how you feel. So, you know what? We will get it done, damn it. We will get it done at some point.
That's what I wanted to hear, Giannotti. All right, man. Hey, I am super happy for you. You're living your dream, man. I'm happy for your success. I'm happy because you're happy. That's what's important. And so I appreciate the time today, man. Really great stuff.
Well, thanks a lot. I had a great time, and thanks for having me on here, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, Mike, Giannotti was awesome, man. That was a lot of fun. I really, really enjoyed that. He enjoyed that. How about him? We didn't have a game prepared. And how about Gio asking for Gio or Gino? I mean, that is a man who listens to our podcast, Mikey. Hey, what'd you think of Giannotti there?
It was my childhood, but mixed with today, because it was like the current iteration of WFAN. I fucking enjoyed the hell out of that.
Mike, you left halfway through.
This is true.
Stupidity! Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. It was the original light beer, and to this day, it's still the best one. Miller Lite has more of the taste you want and less of the stuff you don't. And listen, the NBA playoffs are here. I cannot tell you how many times I have drowned my sorrows because of the New York Knicks, and I've drowned them in ice-cold Miller Lights. But hopefully, there is hope. This year, I'll be celebrating my New York Knickerbockers. How about that? Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. The original light beer since 1975. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/stew, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.